current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's Word as signs of the times.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome into Signs of the Times, our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news for Friday, March 27th, 2020. Along with Pastor Mark Kurt, I'm Greg Hill. Thanks for spending the next hour with us. Whether you're listening live on the air or online, or episode 118 is the podcast on Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. We appreciate you taking the time through any of those ways or from our website at thesigns.org. Pastor Mark, really not a whole lot going on in the world, so I don't know what we're going to talk about for the next hour.
Yeah, isn't that something? It really is. Things are crazy, and I think we're going to take this entire time to talk about, yes, very pertinent prophetic things that line up very clearly with the Scripture, but also giving, I think, more balance and maybe hope and encouragement on the COVID-19 virus that's happening. I want to do that, to be an encouragement and kind of a voice of reason and calm, you know, for everyone listening, but also sober. You know, it's serious, and yet we need to keep this in perspective. And we will get through this, Greg. God is going. Look, I believe the beginning of sorrows has begun, but there's a lot of contractions and decontractions that have to take place, and there's a lot of things to go before we reach the end. The Lord is going to be faithful, and so we're going to get reprieves. We just need to be really aware and in prayer and in the Word and informed, and so that's what this show is all about. I'm excited about the show today.
If you're a listener that's been listening for a long time in Europe, but we would call a prophecy buff, or even just a Christian that reads and takes God's Word in expectantly, like the Bible says, that we should be expectant for his return, but yet be about his business. You know that one of the things that we've talked about on this show is, of course, all the one world things, the one world government, the one world economy, the one world religion. Had lots of articles about that over the years. However, it wasn't really clear to us what would be a catalyst to bring about that one world government or that one world economy. One world religion, we pretty much have that. That's pretty much been identified for us, I think. But the other two were really kind of hard to understand. What was it going to be? And Pastor Mark and I were talking about this before the show. We always thought it was going to be like a war of some kind.
Yeah.
Well, you want to know what? It has been a war.
Yeah.
But it's been a war against a virus.
Yeah.
That is united the world together in a way that really kind of opens the door for that future prophetic one world government.
And it's interesting the language you use, Greg. Of course, there could be other things besides this. This is one in the beginning of probably several things that will drive the world together,
yeah,
but united the world and drove the world together. Two things that are interesting here. The world's united, and this whole phrase we all keep hearing, in this together, and that's good. We are in this together, and there's nothing wrong in that. We need to work together to defeat this. That's just wisdom. However, many people are being driven to this as well, because what it's going to eventually do is take away our liberties, break down country barriers. It's going to, you can already see some of the threats toward our rights in America and that kind of stuff.
So, and we'll talk about that later, yeah.
Yes, we will. But that's important, though, for the definition here. I'm not going to spoil the
articles. Oh, no, no. I was just throwing that out there, yeah.
But remember, the 10 toes, they're forced together. We're talking about a mold that is made of iron and clay. And the iron, that's an easy one. You heat iron up, things get hot in the world. So things get hot, right? Things are hot right now. Everything melts and comes together and fits into the mold that it is put into, which now is, come on, guys, we all have to get together and be in the same mold to deal with this, right? Let's both get on solid footing. The whole world get on solid footing, stand on our two feet together, to further the analogy. But also in that mold, the Lord tells us there's going to be some uncertainty. some that are forced into it that don't want to be there. It talks about clay, Daniel chapter 2, iron mixed with clay. So you've got the volunteering. We're all in this together. Let's work whatever. And people willing, Greg, to lay everything down to spare their life. You know, so what? I'm not free anymore. I want to live. So what? I can't do this anymore. I want to live, etc. Then you're going to have those that are going to say, you know what? Like Paul Revere, give me liberty or give me death. And all the give me liberty or give me death people, those that are deeply patriotic, they're going to be the clay. And they're going to be mingled in with other people around the world that are also clay in that vision. And they're not going to exactly go along with this, but they're going to have to. Okay, so there's going to be willing participation, which will be the majority. But there's going to be a forced participation that is going to be the minority, it would appear from Daniel's vision in Daniel chapter 2.
So, and are we talking about post-rapture type of, you know, coming together formally, officially, iron and clay?
Well, I think it's already underway, Greg. I think you're going to see it. I think, yes, post in the sense of, I think before it's fully activated, you're going to see us out of here. But I believe right now, what we see, there's a restructuring of the world going on. And we're going to talk about this in the first half, but there's a restructuring of the world going on. And I believe that restructuring of the world is a giant mold is being formed by Satan of the demonic realm. God is allowing it. And that giant mold covers the world and is in the shape of two giant feet with 10 toes. And so what's happening is it's the mold is being put in place. And here's my prediction. My prediction is we are going to make some major concessions and changes, which already just happened in this vote that just happened in Congress, things that we won't even know about for a while. We'll hear about them as they come out, things that are in the bill that we're going to find out about that are going to begin to head our country in a certain direction, which and then head the world in a certain direction. So I believe the mold is being made, but is everything going to be poured into that mold right now? I do not believe so. I believe the mold is going to be more formulated, but I don't believe you're going to see the iron and clay poured into that mold until maybe the next major world catastrophe. We enter into the last days. I think you're going to see major catastrophes every 1 to 2 years. This one is pretty big. I think in 2 years, a year to 2 years, you'll see another great big one, depending on how close these contractions are going to be. And then at some point, it's going to melt everybody. We're going to say, we've had it. We've had it. We can't keep going through this. There's no way that we can stay separate from the world and keep everyone from dying. There's no way we can do that. We have to come together with a centralized government, a centralized leader. Sorry, President of the United States and everyone else. We need a world president, a leader to bring this whole thing to be an overseer. And it may just start out as a world overseer without giving all that great authority. Because, Greg, it talks about the 10 toes being in place, the 10 horns, which is also another picture of that. And when the Antichrist rises up, he's going to yank 3 of them out by the roots. So whatever this 10 conglomeration, be it nations or regions, probably nations, he's going to yank them out at the roots, 3 of them. And that will leave 8, including him. So down to 7, but he'll be the 8th.
And, so you think it's more 10 nations, more than 10 regions?
How do you rip 3 regions out?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I don't know. How do you rip out 3 regions now that I think about it? But we'll see. Again, it could be regions. It could be nations. But either way,
it's going to happen.
He's going to rip them out of there. And so here's what I want our listeners to know. You are watching the formulation, the beginning mold formulation of the end times world scenario. And we talked about it, Greg, in the first half, interestingly, in kind of a layered circle around the earth. And that may be a good model to give our listeners.
Yeah, we talked about that before the show. Yeah.
Yeah. In the sense of, first of all, I want you to look at this as our listeners. In the spiritual sense, because that truly is, the spiritual sense is truly the main motivator. That's the biggie here on this whole thing. And that is, you have, God's in control of all things, but the Bible says that God allows Satan certain levity. Okay? Satan is the God of this world, small g. God is the true God of this world, big G. And it says that in 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, verse 4. And so what Satan wants to do is he wants to unite the world as one. And the way he's going to do that, the Bible reveals, is a one world economy, one world government, one world religion, all these things, so that he can rule over it as God and, you know, in a way kind of fulfill what he's wanted since the beginning, and that is to be like God. Okay, that's Satan's motivation. So we know what he's trying to do, and I believe we're watching the spiritual forces at work right now to do that. God is allowing it. Why? Because God said he's going to allow this in the last days to separate the righteous from the unrighteous, those who want heaven and God and those who want Satan and the demons. Now, the thing is, most people don't know they're allying themselves with Satan and the demons. They don't know that. But they are. And so God's allowing it. Satan, I think, is motivating it. And that's kind of the spiritual view of this. Remember, the bottom line goal is to get the world together in a one world government, one world currency, one world everything, so that he can rule over it and be God. That's his goal. He wants to be God. Now, that's layer one. Now, let's come down out of the stratosphere into the human sphere. And that is the fear of people, and get into politics. And this isn't really be fear. You know, fear would be the third one. Let's stay in the stratosphere and come down to the political realm. And now you have everybody's personal fleshly ideologies involved. That's, Satan and God are controlling everything. God controls it all. He allows Satan a certain amount. Under that, we're puppets. We just are. Washington, our congressmen, our senators, we're all puppets. We don't have power. They have power. We have much higher and greater beings in the universe than us. But now we come to our realm, political motives. That's what you saw played out here in this stimulus bill. You had the Republicans with their motives, the Democrats with their motives. And we know that the Democratic side is trying to push towards socialism, which socialism aligns up more with what the Antichrist is going to be doing. So we would understand seeing that push taking place. And now we have all the positioning of all the politicians in what's happening there in Washington.
Yeah, socialism, I would say, is a global necessity in order for the Antichrist to govern globally.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, in with that said, now you have the third realm, and that is you have in the last days, the Bible says in Romans 1, as man turns away from God, they're going to worship the earth more. Now we get into the environmental movement. Now, let me say, if you care about the environment, it doesn't mean you're a Satan worshiper. It doesn't mean you're worshiping demons. It doesn't mean this. It means you're being a good steward if you love our planet. I get that. But if you put the earth before man, you know, I just started reading through the Bible again this morning. I finished and I start over, and I was in Genesis 1 and that whole section, and seeing that God says, I made the earth for mankind. Here, the earth is here for this reason. It's for people. It's for people. That's why the earth's here. People are not here for the earth. The environmentalist that worships the earth and worships the environment, Greg, they see it reversed. God says, no, the earth is here to serve man. They see man is here to serve the environment. And so what happens is you get this inverted, unbiblical model. You get an actual worship of the earth. And most people don't know they're worshiping the earth. They're just honoring the environment over God, which that means it is your God and you're worshiping it. Some go so far, if you want to go to the right wing of the environmental movement, if you want to look at it that way, or far left in the environmental movement, however you want to talk about it, they actually do have worship services for the earth, Mother Earth, and they literally do that. So you have all those different realms in there. But the third layer in is the environmental movement. They want to see our economy collapse. They want to see the world's industries collapse. They believe that we should go back to horse and buggy so that all pollution disappears, all ships off the ocean, so there's no oil, gas anywhere. And the most extreme, I'm not joking, believe me, I lived in Santa Fe for a while. I've read their articles. The most extreme literally are wanting mankind to die out. I'll never forget reading that article. They said, we want mankind to eventually completely die out because then the earth would be able to thrive in health the way it was intended without us tainting it. What they forget is there would be no one here to enjoy it. It would have no purpose. Nature can't, you know, just, oh, isn't this great to be alive today? It doesn't work that way. So, but it's a blindness, Greg.
Yeah.
It's a real blindness. And so those are the different aspects. There's probably more to it, but that's kind of a summation of what we're looking at. And so here's my prediction of what I think is going to happen. I think what you're going to see happen, the stimulus has been passed. You will see today the markets jump up because everybody's going to be happy. Over the weekend, they'll sit on it for a while, and it may drop back down on Monday because then the human element comes back in. Well, maybe this isn't going to work. You know, you can predict people's moods pretty much by watching, if you watch long enough. And then this is what's going to happen. I believe, even though there's all the dire predictions, I believe you're going to see this COVID-19 die out fairly quickly. Now, again, they're saying months. I don't believe so. I may be wrong. I'm not a prophet. I'm not claiming to be a prophet. God has not spoken to me. I am not speaking for God. Thus saith Mark. I want to be clear on that.
Yes.
But my gut feeling, an educated biblical guess, an educated prophetic guess, is that we've got another 2 weeks of serious, another 2 weeks after that of watching it just kind of go die down quickly. I think a month from now, we could see ourselves fairly back to normal. I'm not ruling out, although it looks unlikely for Easter services, I haven't ruled that out yet, back in churches for America. Now, it may not happen. But here's my point in all that. Mark, how can you say that? The numbers are going out through. I believe we're at the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of contractions. And after having four daughters, what I've seen with contractions is they come on, bam, you think, oh, no, this is going to be it. This is going to be real bad. It's going to last forever. And it goes away. And it comes on real hard and fast, but it goes down just as fast. And since the Lord made this prophecy about it being like contractions, this came on fast and furious. I believe it's going to go down fast and furious. Now, there'll be a shorter gap between the next. We may have another year. Next year, it may hit something that may hit again, different. But I really believe that by the summer, we're going to be looking back going, I can't believe it's over. We thought this was going to last all the end of the year. Now everybody's going to be living normal life, doing vacations. That's what I think. Now, we'll see if I'm right. Time will tell. But I'm only going based off of what earthly contractions are and what God said it would be like. And I don't believe it's time for God to shut the earth down. I don't think this first wave is going to pour everything in that mold. I don't think it's going to get so hot that the world melts down, pours into those 10 toes mold, and everybody just gives in to Europe and this leader that rises up. I believe we have a little bit more. Now, don't think we have more time for the rapture. The rapture could happen today. I'm talking about until the Antichrist is revealed. I think we have a little bit more time. I think you're going to see the coronavirus die down. I believe we're on the cusp of it, and I think there's reason to be encouraged. We will see.
Now, let me ask you a question, because we know that all prophecy is global, and you mentioned the passing or the House passing the stimulus bill, which we're hyper-focused on because we live in the United States here, so we see the collateral damage that the virus is causing economically in our country.
Right.
And you're reading a lot more articles than what we even cover in this program. So what are you seeing, Pastor Mark, around the world? I mean, obviously, the news covers the number of deaths and the overload in hospitals and the strain on the medical workers.
Right.
But what about the economies in these other countries? What's happening there?
Well, it's interesting. You know, that Greg, really, we're leading the world in that. I don't see the other economies necessarily bouncing back. They may. But not quickly, not now. There's nothing on the horizon that would say to me that the world economies are going to start coming back. I kind of see them maybe holding level. America's strong. I think America is the engine of the world right now. If America goes back up, I think we'll keep everybody else floating. But when the next major catastrophe, and I believe when it does come, Greg, the next one might be, could be, there may be two more. The next one might be the one that pulls our economy down, and we're down with everybody else. I don't think this is it. But I think you watch America for that. I think America is the driver of it. We truly are the economic engine of the world. We are. We're still, the dollar is still the standard coinage of the world, if you will. And but I don't see anything in Europe's economy or anyone else that has a driver to bring them up. They don't have any kind of increase in industry. They don't have. There's nothing on the horizon for them that could come from. Whereas in the American economy, we still have this cavalier American spirit that once we infuse money back into it, even if it's just temporary and a trick, and as far as what this, it's going to, I think, motivate people back to work, businesses, jobs. You'll see an infusion of money. You'll see our economy bounce back, I believe. And I think we'll be able to hold steady until those dues start coming debt and until the next tragedy comes. And I don't know how many more of these we can handle. You cannot keep adding trillions to the budget and survive indefinitely. There has to be something. The hope is they'll build it up in trillions, pour it in, and the economy will be so great that it will bring in so much they can pay the debt down. That's the goal. But they're talking about a 15-year mindset for that. Well, now we're set back further on that. And heading into the last days, I don't know that we'll ever pay our debt off. I think what we'll do is we'll infuse the cash into it to keep us afloat, maybe until the rapture or right before. I think you're going to see, once the American economy goes down, the bottom line is, Greg, I don't think we're going to see all the other economies do really great, but I think you're going to see America maintain for now.
Yeah, no, I know that that's about the future. I'm talking about the present, because we had, in the last week, we had 3 million apply for unemployment. And so I was wondering, what were you seeing around the world with regard to the economic impact in these other countries?
Well, again, I think you're going to see it hurt them greatly, Greg. These countries over there, I think they're going to be devastated, because here's what will happen even here now. Everybody that lost their job, I'm just going to give the bad news. They're not going to get those jobs back, and here's why. Some of those small businesses are going to end up going under. They're going to get relief. Some will be able to revive. Some will go under.
Some will go under, yeah.
Yeah, so you're going to see a percentage of those go under, which means those people have lost their jobs. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to go out and get another job. But you're going to see some small businesses disappear people move into maybe larger companies. And Greg, small businesses are the economic engine of America. We talked about how oil is the economic engine of Russia. The economic engine of America is small business. It's not these giant companies. If small businesses disappear, we suffer as a nation overall economically. So, no, I don't see in other countries right now, I don't see them bouncing back. I see them hurting, getting worse, which, Greg, sets them more, it gets them ready even more for this unifying world rescue of some leader, and the economy's coming together because they're going to be saying, hey, we need to come together. We can't recover. Look, America was able to throw some trillions at it because they've got lots of money, and we won't forever, but we do right now. We don't. We're dying over here. Now you've got the iron ready to be poured in the, they've melted down. You got America. We're some clay toes, I think. And it's going to take more for this clay to give in and say, we're not getting into your mold. We're doing okay over here, but eventually we're going to have to. And that's where you're going to see all this lead, and maybe the next economic adventure, so to speak, might be the one that brings us down.
Okay.
Yeah. So again, overall, what to watch for? I think be watching for the coronavirus to slowly fade away here in a couple of weeks. I think it'll peak in the next week or two. I think it'll peak. I think you're going to see it go back down the other side. I know you're saying, Mark, you're not a doctor. I'm not a doctor. I'm not telling you God said this. This is my opinion, a prophetic viewpoint that may be wrong. But I think that by the time we get mid-April, we're going to see this curve going down. I wouldn't be surprised by the 1st of May to see pretty much America relatively normal with a new norm, because nothing's ever going to go back the same. You know, when we had 9/11,
yeah, nothing went back.
It never did.
It's a new normal. And
there was a huge psychological change, too.
Yes.
I'm feeling not as drastic as 9/11, but, Greg, on a much larger scale.
Globally.
I am feeling 9/11 made a global change, although it was just in America. It did. It affected the world.
Yeah.
This now is literally affecting the world. There's another global change that just took place, and it's going to change us forever. We're not going to go back to exactly how we were. And with that said, again, but I think we have some more time here, but I want to encourage our listeners, look, don't fret over this world not being like you always known it to be. Don't fret over America not being like it always was. I'm like you. We don't want things to change. We have freedom. We have blessing. We have abundance. God has poured out his goodness on America. I get that. But we're going to see everything change. And with each of these major catastrophes, America changed with 9/11. America will change this time, too. And so whenever this thing, you know, really started for America, I don't know if it's 3/11. Wouldn't that be something? I don't think it was. But either way, I'm just saying that. It's 9/11, 3/11. Anyway, the bottom line is this has to happen. Be encouraged. You know, I can remember when Tracy would say, well, I think I'm okay. It's time to go to the hospital. I'm like, okay, great. Here we go. I dreaded the contractions, the pain, and all that went with, and I wasn't even going through it. I'm watching it. He said, what do you mean you dread it? And I mean, for Tracy, and then for me to watch her go through that, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I just give me the baby. Let's get past all this pain stuff.
Yeah.
The reality is, if you're going to have a baby, there's going to be some pain. And there's going to be some contractions. And, you know, even when you get, you know, the painkiller, so to speak.
Did you order an epidural for two?
There you go. With little umbrellas in it or something. I mean, it's interesting because when, you know, I remember when Tracy was one of our, you know, she always had the epidural to kind of help with the pain. She still had pain with that.
Yeah.
And then with one of our girls, she came so quickly, she couldn't get any epidural. So she had the full pain of it. And it's quite different. It was way worse, way more intense. I hated it. But by God's grace, it happened very quickly. We had her born in about 45 minutes. And so that was a huge blessing. I'm sure to Tracy, it seemed like hours and hours and hours. And even that 45 was long for me. But God in his grace made it come fairly quickly. But here's my point. I had to watch things change rapidly, and I had to watch the pain, and I had to just go, I hate this. I can't wait till this is over, anticipating the birth of the baby. But then once the baby girls were born, joy. Not only that the pain has subsided for your wife, but there's this beautiful little baby, and you've got this whole new life that just started, and all that goes with that, you know, so to speak. Mm. Well, here we are.
And then you forgot about the pain
exactly.
Once you saw the baby.
And what the Lord talked about that. He said, you know what? Once the child comes, you forget about the pain.
So for those listening, Pastor Mark, when we talk about the prophetic birth pangs, then what's the baby for the Christian? What's the baby for the believer here?
The baby for the believer is the birth of, well, Let me just say this. Actually, I would say that it's kind of twofold.
Okay.
We have the rapture, and so that's going to be our relief. I would say the rapture, if you want to follow this model, I'll say the rapture is kind of like the epidural.
Okay.
Except even better. No pain, and it's like a celebration. Really, the rapture would kind of be like the birth. But on the earth, the birth hasn't happened yet. Greg, the earth is going to be groaning for the birth of the new kingdom. That's what's happening. The birth pangs are the birth of the new kingdom. Jesus coming back to rule and reign for 1,000 years. So the earth is groaning. Mankind is groaning. Everyone's groaning. And it's like the Lord comes back and it says he releases a cry. It's like a roar almost. And he takes over the earth. That's almost like enough. The birth has happened. Here we are. And then it's the kingdom. And there we go. However, it's kind of a little bit different picture for the believer because we have the rapture to look forward to. And so right now, our hope, our blessed hope, the Bible says, is the return of Christ. It is the rapture of the church. That is our blessed hope. So our relief is to watch for that. Once we're gone, those who don't know the Lord are going to have to go through all the intense contractions. We're going to go through the pre-contractions, which we're in, I think, now, the time of sorrows that the Lord talked about. But the intense contractions that get closer and harder and closer and harder and closer and harder until finally the Lord comes back, that's going to happen in the last 3.5 years. And so, you know, again, it's interesting.
And the birth of the millennial kingdom.
And the birth of the millennial kingdom, and there we are. So, yeah, so that's what we need to be watching for, and that's what we're looking for. So be encouraged. It's not going to be like it was. Things are going to change. You know, a woman will tell you after she has her baby, it's hard to go back to the way she was before that baby, you know, and a lot do, don't get me wrong there. But the point is that it's a major event that all you do,
her
your
body
best,
changes,
you do your best to get back how you were, but there's going to be some level of change. So we're going to experience and see a certain level of change here as we go through this corona thing, but this contraction will subside. We're not going to be living in our homes forever. It's not going to be a world shutdown till everything collapses. There will be some level of activity, I believe, soon. And actually, I believe in many ways the president is addressing it the right way by saying, look, we can't live forever in our houses. We have to get out and start facing reality and live life. I mean, you just can't forever shut down. Everyone will die. Everyone's money will be gone. So, I mean, the whole thing. So I'm not getting into the political side of it. I'm saying there's wisdom in what our president is saying that I believe God is giving him wisdom in. But as far as the timing, only God knows the timing. And so be encouraged. The baby's coming. You're going to be taken out of here before the baby comes. And, you know, it's interesting. In New Mexico, where I lived, you got to stay in there till the baby was born. When I came here after the baby was born, and of course, now I guess you can stay in there as well. They let the man stay in there. I know years ago would fit a better picture, Greg, of what we're going to face with the rapture. Because years ago, you'd reach a certain point in the process, and the dad had to leave.
Oh, wow.
That would be like raptured out of the room.
Yeah, raptured
then
out of the room.
Then the birth was given. So the same thing will happen to us. We will be raptured out of the room. We'll be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. The earth will have the baby. All the pain, all the suffering, the seals, the trumpets, the bowls. Then we will come back at the end of it with the Lord giving a shout at the birth of the new kingdom. He will establish his throne, and we are going to have a major celebration for 1,000 years on this earth. And then at the end of that, final revolt. I'll get into all the prophecy. I'll confuse people too much if you don't know prophecy.
Yeah,
but the bottom line is we have a great future ahead of us. And so everybody relax. Take a deep breath, but do it inside or behind a mask.
6 feet away from
someone.
Use
wisdom.
Else.
Look, I'm not saying don't be sober. Use wisdom. Stay away from grandpa and grandma. Don't go in crowds.
Absolutely.
Let's let this thing pass by. Use wisdom. Use the social distancing. Do all that. But realize, I think we're going to see some relief soon. And I don't know if it'll be as soon as Easter, but wouldn't it be great to have a resurrection, a national resurrection, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I don't know, I saw a thing today, a headline, you know, it won't be until the second week of April is going to be the hardest week. And you wonder how much of that's the enemy. Shut down churches so they can't come back together. I don't know, but we will see. God will show us. And but use wisdom, be encouraged. This too shall pass. And we'll get into, again, articles here in the second half that are going to really, really lay out what the enemy's doing. We want to kind of reveal his schemes. We are not ignorant to the wiles of the devil.
We know what the enemy has intended for evil, God will use for good. So we're going to look to the Lord for good things to come out of this bad situation.
Absolutely.
And like Pastor Mark said, we got a lot of articles to get to. So put your seatbelt on because we're going to go fast and furious for prophetic news when Signs of the Times continues right here on WIAM. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
WIAM-LP.
101.1 FM, Knoxville.
It's Crazy Money Day. Last year, 1 million people were in danger of missing out on $1 billion in refunds because they still hadn't filed their 2015 tax returns. 2015! Hey, I'm Chuck Bentley with My Money Life from Crown. People have 3 years, plus the time of any extensions, to file their tax returns during a so-called look-back period. If they miss the deadline, the Treasury Department keeps the cash. A Wisconsin couple missed their $7,000 refund because they missed a filing deadline by 2 days. Just 2 days. They're hoping the judge reconsiders. Benjamin Franklin said, "Don't put off until tomorrow what you can do today." Now, the Bible describes this as diligence. God graciously gives us 24 hours each day. We have the freedom to squander those hours or to use them in productive work that will bless others and glorify God. He wants us to wisely steward all that He gives us. That means being purposeful with each day. What we do here and now matters for eternity. Consider what Jesus told His disciples in Luke 12. "Who then is the faithful and wise manager, whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions." Stewards do their task to the best of their ability in a timely fashion. That includes filing taxes. So don't delay. The sooner you complete them, the better you'll feel. Plus, you won't be in danger of missing out on a refund. Now, if you want to grow in biblical stewardship, access Crown's online studies and tools. They'll help you on your spiritual and financial journey. Call the Crown Helpline at 800-722-1976 or find out more at crown.org.
A Moment of Grace with Ed Taylor.
The church doesn't need more bosses. The church doesn't need any bosses. The church needs servants. Servants with the gift of administration. Those that are gifted with leading are good with people. They're good people persons. They just work well with people. In the world, you might say that they have good customer relations. They're just able to calm people down and get people's eyes back on what's important. They're able to deal with that person that's complaining and upset over something and say, "Okay, we're going to help and serve you, but let's get back on track. It was a mistake. I'm sorry. Let us fix it for you." And they have a tendency to do that well.
You can learn more at edtaylor.org. Grow deeper in your love relationship with Jesus by visiting edtaylor.org. This has been A Moment of Grace with Ed Taylor.
Signs of the Times now continues. Here again is your host.
Welcome back to our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news that we call Signs of the Times. Today is March 27th, but you could be listening to episode 118 sometime in the future on Google, Apple, iHeartRadio, or Spotify, or right from our website at thesigns.org. As a matter of fact, I had a listener contact me yesterday. She listens with her daughter, and they want to rewind because the younger daughter wants to listen to it again. Now, what did Pastor Mark say? So you can actually rewind and go back in time on the podcast right from our website at thesigns.org.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into articles because we've got lots of them.
On the boats and on the planes.
We're going to start in America first. Pastor Mark and I were talking about this before the show. And this is from Forbes.com. Shocked U.S. digital dollar proposals set Bitcoin and cryptocurrency prices alight.
Yeah, and let me explain what's happening since then. But interesting,
yes.
Why this is so interesting. Again, Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, investors have cheered. The U.S. plans to create a so-called digital dollar as part of a massive coronavirus-induced stimulus bill. The Bitcoin price climbed 15% over the last 24-hour trading period, nudging $7,000 per Bitcoin. And sending the wider cryptocurrency market sharply higher. The Bitcoin price has already been boosted by the Fed promising an open-ended commitment to keep buying assets under its coronavirus crisis quantitative easing measures. If the U.S. were to create a digital dollar, it could be seen as a tacit endorsement of Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, especially if it were to use Bitcoin's underlying blockchain technology. A provision for the digital dollar was included in a draft stimulus bill put together by U.S. Democratic Party as a means to make payments to people and businesses hit by the corona-induced economic turmoil. Now, this didn't happen. All right?
This article, but we came awful close.
Yes, this article was what's the date of this? March 24th, and today is
the 27th.
So 3 days ago, in the bill, there was a digital currency, which means we were going to be talking about moving the dollar to digital. That is, think about it, massive. Now, I don't know whether it would have been a full turnover or partial or what, but still massive news. Here's what you need to understand. It didn't. It failed. They took it out of the bill. It's not a part of the bill now. And so Bitcoin is dropping in value. And since the vote, I just looked because I'm curious about Bitcoin because this article, Bitcoin just dropped. It's dropped in value since the vote just about 20 minutes ago.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, but I knew it would. I was watching for that. Why? Here's why. Yeah. Because, again, people are watching. They know that if it becomes something we do, that the government's going to back it and everybody's going to make lots of money. But now they didn't back it. So Bitcoin has dropped.
Yeah.
Here's what's going to happen. Whether it's Bitcoin or not, it's a currency where you don't need dollars. If you want to Mark, what's Mark talking about?
It's cryptocurrency.
It's electronic money.
Yeah.
I want them to understand that. Electronic money. I mean, some people don't even know what cryptocurrency is. It's electronic money. You don't have real money. You're just buying it by electronics. Almost like a credit card, but it's not.
Yeah.
Anyway, that will probably sometime in the end times process, that will happen. Cash will be done away with. Everything will be done digitally because the world economies will need to come together and they'll be able to meld them all together without having to worry about switching dollars to this and all that and yen, et cetera. Yeah. It's just there it is. And it'll be a way that the economies can all come together. And you're going to see this take place. So the fact that it made it into a bill that almost passed in our Congress and our Senate, Greg, that's amazing. Yeah. This is what we're watching for. This is one of the main signs of the last days in a one world economy is everything going digital. So keep your eye on that.
Here's why I think it failed. What we found out through this nationwide shutdown is that there, out of the millions and millions and millions of kids that have been out of school,
right,
that it highlighted the reality that there are so many homes that do not have internet or adequate internet.
Interesting.
In order to have online classes. In order to do a digital world with a digital currency, you've got to be digital everywhere you go. Yeah. So I think we had an article about this, if you remember, not too long ago, about all the satellites in the air to provide a global Wi-Fi.
Tesla again.
Yes, exactly. So I think once that gets solidified and you've got Wi-Fi in every nook and cranny of the planet, then I think something like that is going to. So I think it's a building process, and we just don't have the foundation complete.
Right. You need it in every nook and cranny. You're also going to need it in every crook and nanny because everybody's going to have it. Everybody. And
yes.
So the bottom line is, Greg, that's a great point I hadn't thought of. Now, with that, be watching if in the stimulus or one to come after, money is not included to get the nation digital. Everyone. They're already talking about giving a check to everyone. Let's see whether or not they're going to do something like, I don't know, maybe your Apple stock's about to go out the roof. For example, everyone gets an iPad mini or something or whatever, just trying to digitize. I don't know, but I mean, you're right,
yeah.
Greg. We need to go. But there is one other way to go digital. There's one other way to go digital.
Okay, I've got the rim shot ready.
I'm not going to make a joke, but you make
okay,
it.
I thought that's where you were heading.
No,
okay.
No. But do you have one?
I thought you were setting me up for something.
No, this is real, and that is a chip.
Oh, yes.
You know, we talked about, Greg, this is the interesting thing that when you just said that I'd forgotten about linking the two together. But Tesla, you know, all of a sudden Tesla stock just went out the roof.
With the Neuralink mind chip, too, yeah.
Yeah, and we did the article about the Neuralink mind chip, which, again, we know there's going to be a chip in the head and the forehand, hand or forehead.
Yeah.
But also, Tesla's the one they're working with to have basically satellites so that everyone is digital. Now we just have to get digital units in everyone's hand, which is the next step. So be watching for that. Maybe in some of these stimulus bills, be looking for a way we can digitize, because eventually that will happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, now, Pastor Mark, I'm going to toss these next two articles to you to finish off our America segment together, because they go hand in hand.
All right, I'm ready.
The first one is, okay, you ready? Okay.
Got it.
Yeah, okay. The first one is from the Western Journal, coronavirus or no coronavirus, feds cannot shut down churches. Then, from CNSnews.com, Virginia's governor has made it a crime for more than 10 people to attend a church service.
Yeah, and I may even read that one first.
That's fine. Yeah, take
it. Yeah, I mean, listen to this. Again, Governor Ralph Northam, the Democratic, newly elected Democratic governor of Virginia, issued an executive order on Monday that's aimed at stopping the new coronavirus, he said. In the process, it makes it a criminal offense to hold a church service of more than 10 people. Yes, his order makes it a crime for more than 10 people to gather in church. Not just you can't do it, not just a suggestion, a crime. Northern Minnesota's executive order declared violations of paragraph 1, which states that all public and private in-person gatherings of 10 or more individuals are prohibited. Class 1 misdemeanor. And here's what the government can do if you break the law. The Code of Virginia spells out the punishment in Code 18.2-11. It says, and I quote, the authorized punishments for conviction of a misdemeanor are A, for Class 1 misdemeanors, confinement in jail for not more than 12 months for up to a year, and a fine of not more than $2,500 and or both. The same executive order that creates this church attending a crime also declares that Virginia state-owned liquor stores are essential retail businesses that may remain open during normal business hours.
How about that?
So you can, you know, get drunk, but you can't go to church. Now, I'll give balance to this in just a moment. Here's the people on the other side of this, again, from the article, Greg, that you pointed out, from Chris Ann Hall about that Fed can't do it. Religious freedom in America is not simply, I'm reading the article, not simply a fundamental right, but a foundational one. The settlements of the first American colonies were established in the flight from oppression, oppressive religious persecution, and the struggle continued even on these shores. From the beating of Obadiah Holmes and the lynching of Quakers and the imprisonment of 50 Baptist preachers who were defended by a fiery attorney named Patrick Henry. Religious liberty has been something American Christians have always been willing to stand for and even die for. This history and more gave us the First Amendment to the Constitution and its underlying principle of religious conscience, which has put part of the bedrock of our republic, been apart, rather, for more than two centuries. The father of the Constitution and the fourth president, James Madison, wrote in 1792, conscience is the most sacred of all property, the exercise of that being a natural and inalienable right to guard a man's house as his castle, to pay public and enforce private debts with the most exact faith, and to give no title to invade a man's conscience, which is as sacred as his castle. And he goes on talking about churches being protected, etc. Now, here's what's happening. I don't think churches are being shut down as of now. We are experiencing a contraction, but Greg, here's what's been revealed. The ability to do so. Are churches going to open back up? Yes. But what we now see is that the American people are willing to give up their right to assemble as a church based on fear and a government mandate. Now, this is going to pass. Churches will be open back up, but you're looking at phase one of Satan's ultimate goal, to shut down Christians, to shut down the church so that he might be God, that he might be worshipped. Is this happening in this? No. Should the governor have made this a law?
Does that bill have a timetable on it, or is it on the books until they write a new one to take it off the
books?
That's
a good question. I didn't see in the article whether it did, so I'm not going to try to read it all right now, but I didn't see that. But the bottom line is that, again, once all these restrictions are lifted on the 10 or more, it'll be lifted. But so this is going to pass. And I'm not even going to say that the governor isn't trying to, you know, maybe in his own mind have a good motive to whatever. Probably what should have been done is, I'm asking very, very seriously that churches do not meet, don't do that. To make it a law, I think, was probably overboard. But what it shows us is it's coming. It's coming. Christianity will be outlawed. You will have to take a mark. And if you try to worship anyone other than the Antichrist, you will be put to death. So, again, something prophecy has been telling us for a long time. We are now watching it take place. We're watching it happen. This is not it. This will pass. But again, I wanted to point these out because this shows us how it indeed can happen and how quickly. And really, it comes down to life and death matters and what people are willing to give up, you know, for to live. You know, I think about, and this is interesting, but we as believers, We should never give up what we believe to live. Remember what happened with Job. Satan went to God and said, let me at him, flesh for flesh. He'll give up everything to save his life. And God said, no, he won't. No, he loves me more than his own life. And so he let Satan test him and proved that God was right. Job did not give up his faith. He did not give up believing in God, even though he was affected in flesh. And God would call us to do the same thing. The Bible says that we overcome the evil one by our testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, and our lack of fear of dying. And so this is not something I think we don't need to march on Washington about this. We don't need to whatever. This will pass. But I want you to be aware this is coming. Don't give in. Stand firm on your faith. And hopefully we'll be out of here before these kind of choices ever have to be made. But very interesting to watch this unfold.
You may be a businessman or somehow.
Okay, our one story out of One World Government this week is from Breitbart.com. Former United Kingdom Prime Minister Gordon Brown says a global government is what's needed to tackle the coronavirus.
Yeah, this is what we were already talking about, guys. This is where it's going. I mean, the Gordon Brown global government is necessary. Now, in the past, you hear these things kind of blow these guys off. But this is happening now more and more behind closed doors, and especially with the current crisis.
Yes.
It says now's the time for global leaders to create a one world government to tackle the twin medical and economic crisis caused by the Chinese corona pandemic. Former UK Prime Minister Gordon Brown suggested on Thursday. The left-wing former labor leader said that there was a need for a task force involving world leaders, health experts, and the heads of international organizations that would have supreme and unfettered executive powers to coordinate the response. Think about that for just a moment, Greg. Supreme and unfettered. We need somebody running this thing that can do what he wants so that we all survive.
It's the equivalent of being a U.S. Marshal.
Yeah.
A U.S. Marshal can go wherever he wants, whenever he wants. And there is no jurisdiction or restriction on it.
Right, right. This would be a world marshal.
A world marshal, yeah.
He gave no indication of who would appoint the leaders, how long they would serve, or just what their powers would involve. I suggest it may be 10 world leaders. Brown simply wants a new layer of global supra-government to force a solution to the crisis that began in Wuhan, China. This is not something that can be dealt with in one country, he said. There has to be a coordinated global response. Brown said the current crisis was different to the one he was involved in 2008 during the global financial crash. That was an economic problem that had economic causes and had an economic solution. This is the first and foremost a medical emergency, and there has to be joint action to deal with it. But the more you intervene to deal with the medical emergency, the more you put economies at risk. Brown said a proposed global task force would fight the crisis on two fronts. There would be a need to coordinate effort with a vaccine and organize production, purchase and preventing profiteering. I quote, we need some sort of working executive. Listen to this. We need a working executive, Brown said. If I were doing it again, I would make the G20 a broader organization because in the current circumstances, you need to listen to the countries that are most affected, the countries that are making a difference, and the countries where there is a potential for a massive number of people to be affected, such as those in South Africa. The last one here, the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund needed an increase in their financial firepower, or they need it, to cope with the impact of the crisis on low and middle income countries. What he's saying is we need a global government. We need really a global group to head it up. That's exactly what the Bible says will happen. A global government with 10 leaders heading it up and an eventual president of it all who will rise up, yank three of them out, and will take that seat of the CEO and God, end quote, as we head into it. So, again, notice what's happening with this world pandemic. It is a further shaping of the template, a further shaping of the mold, a further getting the world ready for what's about to come. Are we there yet? Not quite. But, oh, my dear friends, we are so very close and getting closer all the time, which means we're that much closer to the rapture. So, very exciting days.
Our growing anti-Semitism article for the day is predictable. Turkish politicians, according to JPost.com, say that the coronavirus is a Zionist plot.
You know, unbelievable, Greg. I was noticing, and I want to say this before I even read some of this. Throughout history, whenever some of the major plagues happened, the Jews were the first ones accused.
Yes.
Isn't that something? Listen, no matter what happens in the world, it's the Jews' fault. Somebody breaks your window with a rock. The Jews did it. You get a flat tire. The Jews did it. If there's anything that happens, the Jews, and you wonder, why are the Jews always blamed? Here's why. I tell you. There's a spiritual battle going on in the heavenlies, and the Jews are God's chosen people. He's not done with them. God is going to complete what he's begun in them, and because of that, Satan hates them, and Satan is going to do everything he can to destroy them, so they are to blame for everything that happens. Listen to what it says. Again, this virus, this serves Zionism's goals of decreasing the number of people and preventing it from increasing, the head of Turkey's Refah Party said. The coronavirus is a Zionist plot spread by the Jews to decrease world population, some members of Turkey's press and public have said, according to the Middle East Research Institute, which specializes in translating Middle East media into English, that is the memory organization, MEMRI, has uncovered a number of incidences of Turkey blaming coronavirus epidemic on Jews and Zionism. In a video posted on Twitter March 13th, a minibus driver and his passenger can be heard engaging in anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. The driver claims all these outbreaks from AIDS to Ebola were created by pharmaceutical companies before asking, and to whom these companies belong. The passenger said the rich, and the bus driver said, well, that means the Jews. And so, again, why blame them? A fellow pastor then opined the Jews will do anything to end the lineage of the Turks, to which he adds, not only Turks, sister, they will do anything to bring the world to its knees. The driver then has the last word saying, anyway, the Jews are a cursed race. Now, again, a Turkish doctor in the meantime, it says, claimed that 60% of Turkey's population is already infected with coronavirus. And, you know, they're just going on, you know, with their normal life getting infected over there, and they're blaming the Jews. Remember, whatever happens, the Jews will be blamed. It is a spiritual battle. And the Bible says in the last days, again, the Jews are going to be hated more and more as we head toward that final day. So, again, further evidence. Keep watching for that.
All right. The coronavirus is not the only pestilence and plagues and disasters and corruption going on as we hit this segment of our program. We've got a lot of them, Pastor Mark, so here you go. Here's the first one from Reuters.com. Russia lifts their tsunami warning after a magnitude 7.5 earthquake off the Kuril Islands.
You know, this is interesting because we're going to get into more earthquakes, but there's been a wave, if I can use that terminology here, with tsunami.
You can.
There's been a tsunami of earthquakes here recently. And what's interesting about this, all of this happening at the same time. Let me read just a little bit of the article. Russian authorities lifted a tsunami warning in the Pacific Far East on Wednesday after a 7.5 magnitude earthquake struck off the coast of the Kuril Islands, the news agency reported. Residents in the town of Severo Kurilsk, in Russia's Sakhalin region.
Somewhere in Russia.
Yes, had earlier been evacuated to a safe zone, a higher ground, emergency services said, adding that a wave of about 20 inches had reached the shores. Now, what's interesting about this is, and then we'll go on to the next one, Greg.
Okay. KansasCity.com is reporting 7 earthquakes hit the Oklahoma City area in 24 hours.
Yes, in just less than 24
hours.
That's right. The tremors ranged in intensity from 1.6 to 2.5. They had the first quake at 10:44. Second quake came in at 1.7. That is magnitude. The third one was 1.8 magnitude. The fourth one, a little bit later, 1.6. These are all spread out within a certain region. The next one, 2.5 quake, then a 2.1 quake. And lastly, the final one was a 1.9. They shook about 10 a.m., roughly 7 miles southeast of Helena, according to the USGS. Now, why do I bring this up? And why is this so interesting to me? Again, remember, in the last days, it's not just that these things are going to be happening. It's that they're all going to be happening at once. And so you've got this worldwide pandemic. If that was all there was, that's one thing. But now you've got on top of it, you've got these earthquakes all happening in different regions here and overseas in clusters. And not only do we have that, we also have plagues of locusts, which you're about to cover now in the next article, all at one time.
Timesofisrael.com. This is March 16th, a little bit earlier, but still applicable today. Timesofisrael.com reporting a plague of locusts is set to descend upon the Middle East in time for Passover.
Yeah, it says the likes we have not seen for over 30 years. They're in the Middle East. According to the perfect biblical storm, the current coronavirus pandemic is affecting travel of international experts in in-country gatherings for training to combat the locust threat. So now, look, you got the locust threat. They can't get in there because of coronavirus to combat it, said the Rome-based senior locust forecasting officer Keith Cressman on Monday. Cressman works at Locust Watch, a division of the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, which gives emergency assistance to countries facing desert locust invasions and constantly monitors the status of potential infestations. According to the organization's most recent forecast report, there are new extremely alarming swarms forming in the Horn of Africa. The desert locust is the most destructive migratory pest in the world, according to the Locust Watch website. As depicted in the book of Exodus, when the highly mobile swarms of desert locusts form, they say they are ravenous eaters who consume their own weight per day, targeting food crops and forage. While one locust may not seem like a major thing, swarms can grow to millions of individuals with the capacity to consume the same amount of food in one day as 35,000 people. A swarm of locusts does that.
Yeah.
The current widespread breeding in Kenya, Ethiopia, and Somalia represents an unprecedented threat to food security and livelihoods at the beginning of the upcoming cropping season. Here's my point. All these things are happening at the same time. Remember, the Bible said there'll be famines, there'll be pestilence, there'll be earthquakes. Here's all three. You got earthquakes, famines, because there will be famines because of these locusts. You've got earthquakes, which we just read about. And guys, note this. It's all happening at one time. So these are the kind of things the Lord said we're to be watching for. Not any of these individually, not any of these localized, not these happening occasionally throughout time as they do, but all at once. And that's exactly what we're seeing again, as I believe this time of sorrows has begun.
I'm just going to give an honorable mention to this last article regarding the coronavirus, in that as the BBC is reporting that Iran is facing a major challenge controlling the outbreak, basically because the country is ignoring the government's orders to shut down, and they're traveling onto their holidays and religious holidays and all over the place. And it's,
trusting Greg and their God. The problem is their God can't help them because only the true God of the Bible can help.
Absolutely.
And it's destroying
it. It is destroying them. Okay. Our last article that we'll probably have time for today is from the church category. However, this concerns the Catholic Church. This is according to Breitbart.com that the Catholic Church is forgiving sins for those stricken by the coronavirus.
Yeah, what a blessing. You know, you look at what's happening around the world, this is definitely good news. When we see that the need of the church coming to the aid, and especially, I'm sorry, Greg. I'm sitting in my brain. I'm reading with you what you're saying, but in my brain, I'm going to Franklin Graham.
Oh, my word. I thought you were mocking the previous...
No. Let me make a quick comment. I thought you said you waited time for one more. You're skipping
the good news. Which was, I'm skipping that.
So my brain jumped down. Look at this last article.
Sorry.
My fault, not paying good attention. No, let me make a quick comment on this, and then quickly I'll mention maybe both. But again, how sad. The Catholic Church is saying they're forgiving sins that those that are stricken by the virus, and again, offering works to do it. The conditions include a sick saying a number of prayers, following celebrations from a distance. They have to read the Bible for at least half an hour, and all this kind of stuff. Let me just make this look. I'm not here to attack anyone. That's not my heart. But this is false teaching. It's false hope. You cannot be forgiven of any sin without going to Jesus Christ and repenting of your sins and turning from your sins. And how sad it is to see this false stuff being pushed out there at a time where we need hope in Jesus Christ. Lastly, I'll just mention this, because I know that you may have heard that Europe canceled Franklin Graham, UK coming in and doing all of his concerts, doing his outreaches or whatever. And now here Franklin Graham is taking Samaritan's Purse over, running a 68-bed care unit over there in Milan for the patients there that are in, putting a field hospital up for Italy. So, again, look at the good news. While we see false news being given out by the Vatican, we see Franklin Graham and believers bringing in good news there to Italy and giving them help in practical ways with hospital beds and, again, giving them the hope of Jesus Christ. So I would just say this. Continue to pray for Samaritan's Purse. Continue to pray for all the opportunities that believers have to be a witness for the Lord right now and to be a witness to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And I share it with you right now. If you're afraid, if you're in fear, if you don't know Jesus Christ and God has opened your eyes, even by today's program, it's as simple as looking to the cross. Jesus said, if you believe that he died for you, he died for your sins on the cross, if you ask forgiveness, turn from your sins, put your faith in him, you'll be born again and have eternal life. And I encourage you to do that if you hadn't done that. And church, take hope. This too shall pass. Our God is on the throne, and we will see you next week with the good news of Jesus.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Folks, don't forget, next Tuesday at 1:30 on this station and live on Facebook Live in the YouTube channel of CalvaryKnoxville.org is going to be Pastor's Perspective, a COVID-19 response. So you want to make sure to tune into that with Pastor Mark and other pastors on that forum. In the meantime, keep your eyes on the Lord and come back next Friday at 1:30 for more Signs of the Times, right here on WIAM.